Welcome to the latest Callan podcast. Imagine committing like millions in capital to mid-sized companies.
Right, entirely outside the traditional banking system.
Exactly. And with no daily stock ticker to check. I mean, that is the reality of the private credit market today for you, the institutional investor.
It's a massive shift, honestly. Because, following the global financial crisis, traditional banks just steadily retreated from middle market lending.
Leaving a massive vacuum.
Yeah, a huge one. And institutional capital, so we're talking defined benefit plans, endowments, sovereign wealth funds, they rushed right in to become the new lenders.
Which brings us to our focus today. We're doing a deep dive into a piece titled "The Latest on Private Credit for Investors in 2026."
A really timely piece.
Definitely. And the mission of this podcast is to break down the mechanics, the real appeal, and, well, the hidden traps of this space specifically for you.
Because it's an allocation you really can't ignore anymore. I mean, private credit, direct lending, non-bank financing, it has rapidly grown into a core portfolio allocation.
Okay, let's unpack this. If we are essentially stepping in to act as, a bespoke balance sheet lender for these companies, we're taking on significant illiquidity. Like you're locking up capital for 7 to 10 years.
Oh, easily 7 to 10 years.
Right. So it's almost like a high stakes VIP savings account where you just can't touch the money. Why are we making that trade-off?
Well, you're getting compensated for that lockup through what we call the illiquidity premium. Over a full credit cycle, the Callan blog post highlights that private credit historically targets returns in the 7 to 12% range.
Wow, 7 to 12%.
Yeah, because you're providing a reliable, customized financing solution that these middle market companies simply cannot get from a traditional bank, so you get to extract that premium.
Right, but I mean, 7 to 12% isn't the whole story.
Yeah.
Public markets offer instant liquidity.
Sure, absolutely.
So if we are giving up the ability to pivot our portfolio, we need something beyond just a high yield to justify the risk, don't we?
We do, and that is where the actual structure of the loans comes into play. Private credit heavily utilizes floating rate debt.
Ah, floating rates.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you are operating in a rising rate environment, your income stream adapts upward automatically. It provides the structural layer of income protection.
Which standard corporate bonds or like broadly syndicated loans often fail to offer.
Precisely.
Okay, that sounds fantastic on paper, but let's talk about the reality of originating these loans. I mean, suddenly we're dealing with covenant enforcement, loan servicing.
The messy stuff.
Yeah, the really messy stuff. Complex workouts if a company defaults. We're taking on a bank's operational headaches, but we aren't a bank.
No, you're an institutional investor.
Right. So we have to hire a specialized manager to do it, and they don't work for cheap.
They definitely don't. And what's fascinating here is how that specialized labor translates directly to the cost structure. Management fees are typically running between 0.75 to 1.5%
So that's
range.
carried interest, right?
Oh, yeah. Up to a 15% cut of the profits for carried interest. Because you aren't just paying for generic asset allocation, you are paying for a massive team to do deep company-specific underwriting.
And to handle the restructuring process if a borrower goes sideways,
Exactly, which is incredibly labor-intensive.
which makes benchmarking an absolute nightmare. I mean, if I'm paying those kinds of fees, I need to know the manager is actually generating alpha.
Of course.
But there's no perfect passive investable index for private credit.
It is a major hurdle. Investors are forced to rely on proxies. You either compare against a peer group using something like the Cambridge Private Credit Index,
Right.
or you take a liquid public index like the Morningstar LSTA US Leveraged Loan Index and you just add a spread to it. But neither captures the true apples to apples performance of an illiquid bespoke portfolio.
So, how do you evaluate a performance report when you're staring at it? The Callan blog post brings up TVPI and IRR, but let's be real, relying heavily on IRR in this space can be incredibly misleading.
It really can be, because internal rate of return is just so sensitive to the timing of cash flows.
Timing, yeah.
Managers can mathematically inflate their IRR by managing exactly when they draw down your capital rather than just generating great underlying asset returns.
Like using subscription lines of credit to delay capital calls.
That is a very common tactic. It boosts the IRR on paper without actually improving the cash generated by the assets.
That's sneaky.
It is. And that's why you have to look at TVPI, so the actual multiple on invested capital, alongside IRR to see through that financial engineering.
Otherwise, you might completely misunderstand the cash-on-cash reality of the fund.
Exactly.
So, to bring this all together for the podcast, Private credit offers powerful diversification away from public equities and bonds, paired with those targeted 7 to 12% yields.
Right, but the trade-off is intense.
Extremely. You face strict 7 to 10 year lockups, high fees, and the absolute necessity of rigorous manager selection.
Because the performance dispersion between top and bottom quartile managers is just massive.
Huge. So if we connect this to the bigger picture, it really raises a critical issue about the future of our financial system. Private credit only surged because traditional banks stepped back.
Right, meaning you, the institutional investors, are the lenders of first resort now for the middle market.
Which is a huge paradigm shift.
It is. So here is a thought for you to take away. If private funds continue to replace traditional bank lending, what happens during the next major economic downturn?
Oh, wow, yeah.
When the inevitable wave of corporate defaults hits, it won't be highly regulated banks holding the keys and restructuring the debt. It will be private credit managers.
And how will that power shift alter the global financial landscape?
Exactly. Something to think about.